great. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. How many of you are blessed this morning?
Yes.
I want to share some stuff that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about for the year to come, 2016. Thank God, very many times, one of the things that the Lord does is that He gives us insight and wisdom into the year to come so that we can get the job done before we've even entered the year. How many of you know it's good to put the spirit realm first rather than the natural realm?
Yes.
That's the way God wants us to do it. We are a spirit first. We have a soul. We live in a body and we function in a world of the touch, taste, seen, economic, health, philosophical world. But God wants us to put the spiritual world first. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if you turn with me to Matthew, the 12th chapter, Matthew chapter 12, and I want us to look at a scripture here. God told me that 2016 is going to be a year of conquest. Say conquest.
Conquest.
We've got to get that into our spirit. You know, the body of Christ has been far too pedestrian. I thank God for the finished works of Calvary, but unless you put those finished works to work, then nothing is going to happen. It's all right, one thing to know about what Christ did, but unless you put to work what Christ did. Can you imagine if Paul the Apostle had sat and when the Lord knocked him off his horse on the road to Damascus, can you imagine if he got off his horse and the revelation of the new creation, the revelation of the finished works of Jesus, all that revelation came into his life, and then he just decides to himself, well, you know what? It's all finished. It's all done. Praise the Lord. I'm going to sit here in a cave like most of the body of Christ and do nothing for the rest of my life. Hallelujah, Shandai. Where would we be today? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get up and go. 2015, you remember 2015 was the year of go, right? How many of you've gone somewhere as a result of the year of go? Even if it's to the shop to share Jesus with the shopkeeper. It doesn't matter how far you go, it's that you went. So when we look back, you see 2015 was the year of go, but when you look back, it's got to be the year of went. Do you understand?
Amen.
Because the past tense of go is what?
Went.
Okay. So now the year 2016, God has told me that it's going to be the year of conquest.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and tell them, put your boxing gloves on. Yeah, there's something about the good fight of faith that God wants us to engage in. I don't know whether it's just me or has anyone else noticed how bad the world has got lately? It's bad. I mean, you know the devil's a lunatic, but when he's let loose on the world, then you really know he's a nutter. Alzheimer-filled nutter. Praise God. So we have to counteract what the devil is doing. It's not that we're led by the devil. We're led by the Holy Spirit. You see, the devil's been crazy from day one. If you read the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, you read about the devil and you read about what entered his mind, what corrupted him, and what gave him the inertia to do what he did. He said, I will ascend my throne to the sides of the north. The sides of the north is where God sits in heaven. You know, heaven has a north, east, west, and south. It's amazing, isn't it? And you know another thing? Ooh, God showed me this scripture. In fact, I shared it with some of us at the furnace a couple of weeks ago. You know when the Bible talks about Jesus' return, right? And he says, and the Lord, he said, he will send out the angels and they will gather the saints from the four corners of the earth, he says, and from the farthest corners of heaven. So that means heaven is far. In fact, you can be out so far in heaven. This is why I don't pity anyone who's dead. If anyone dies, let them go and enjoy themselves in heaven, right? Sorry, Pete, I said that while I was looking at you, but there was no inference. At my mum's funeral 5 years ago, he said to me, "You know what, Pastor P?" He said, "I feel so bad." He said, "Maybe you can just delay the funeral a bit and we'll do two for the price of one. You can throw me in there as well." But that scripture that talks about that the Lord will send his angel and they will gather God's people from the farthest heaven as well. Now, you imagine what that's like. That you're going off, you know what? And today you're sitting in heaven and you think, you know what I'm going to do? I want to investigate some of this place. I want to go to the planet T.L. Osborne. I want to go to planet Hagen. Or I want to go to planet Kuhlman and worship and watch her flow in her robes and preach the anointed. Of course, there's no one there to get healed, but like I'm sure she'll try. Do you know what I'm saying? That there's something about that, that heaven is so vast and the earth is so vast. Now, you imagine the vastness of the earth and then you compare the natural earth to the natural heavens, right? Now, you compare then the spiritual heaven, the third heavens, heaven itself, to what the earth is like, and then you get some idea of the expanse of heaven. Heaven is my home. Some of you, you're suspicious as to whether you're going to go to heaven, but at least declare this. Heaven is my home. You see, God might let you in. Amen. You serve him well. He may just let some of you in. As for the rest of you, who knows? Are you worried? Some of you are sweating already. Don't worry. We'll turn down the air conditioning and you'll be the frozen chosen instead. So that's what it's like. That this God we serve, he is... The Bible says he's able to do more than we ask or think. And that's because he is more than we can ask or think. He's exponentially greater than we can ask, imagine, or even fathom. And sometimes heaven gives us a glimpse of that. The Bible says, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So you can't even fathom those things in your heart. And then it says, but he has revealed them by his Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit opens the word of God to you, then you can get a glimpse of heaven. You can get a glimpse of what it's like. Hey, you imagine the kind of chariots you got there. Speed of light. If you think about it, even a natural chariot, right? If you could get a natural chariot that travels at the speed of light, then it would take you a whole year riding at the speed of light to get to the next available galaxy. So you need something that's going to go faster than the speed of light. Isn't that wonderful? Light goes around the earth 7 times a second. So you'll need to travel in something to get to the farthest heaven so that the angels can come and get you when it's time for them all to return to the earth. You'll need something that travels faster than 7 times around the world a second. What is the speed of light? 100 and... You're the biochem... What are you? Microbiologist? Wrong profession. Any physicists here? What is it? 186,000 miles a second. Light. So you imagine that. You've got to have something that travels faster than that to get where you could go in the natural heaven. But then God is talking about the supernatural heaven. I can't think that far. Your mind, especially on a Sunday morning, some of you are like, ah. But for your mind to travel that far and to even fathom it, how many of you understand what I'm talking about, that it's literally unfathomable? And that's what the Bible is talking about. This thing is greater, greater. There's a prize to gain. You see, what has this got to do with conquest? Salvation is a fight. It's worth fighting to get to heaven. Nice. You see, salvation was the finished work of Jesus Christ, right? But getting it and keeping it is our fight. The Bible says, let us labor to enter his rest. You can't rest on your salvation until you've labored for it. I know what I'm talking about. Faith without works is dead. If there's no evidence of your faith, then there's no faith. That's what Jesus' brother said in the book of James. Yeah. So there's got to be that evidence. There's got to be that fight. I don't know if you've noticed it either. Health is a fight. And many Christians I know that are sick in their body, they've never fought for their health. I've had to fight for my health. I don't know what happened. Between 1991 and this year, I never went to a doctor. Never. I was never. What, I had flu maybe 3 times, if that. Sick days, I don't even know what it was like, sick days. I used to work for a bank. People used to throw sickies all the time. May the Lord deliver you from throwing sickies. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you look like a suspect. Yes. I didn't know, this is the absolute honest truth, I didn't know what it was to be sick. If I got injured in football, I was fine the next day. I'd fight for it. I would fight for my health. I learned from reading people like Kenneth Hagin that, if you're going to enjoy good health, it's a fight. And I heard him say something. He said that between August 1933 and 1983, he said he was so well that many times it didn't even feel like he had a physical body. Wouldn't you like that? How many of you wake up stiff in the morning? Yeah. You can hear the groans from my house. Trust me, I know you. I know you. And you know, things like headaches. And there's this thing that most people reach for the medicine cabinet first thing that goes wrong. First thing that comes up, oh, let's get the doctor. But you know what? There's a better way. There's a better way. You can fight for your health. I remember fighting for my health in about December 88, January 89, in the basement of a house in a place called Pinewood in New Hampshire. And I remember reading Kenneth Hagin's book, and I remember sickness trying to come on me, that coldy, fluey thing that tries to take people's joy and zeal away in around the winter months. And I remember fighting, standing on the word of God like never before, and saying, Father, if this word is true, let it be true in me. Whatever it is, show me what I've got to do to get this thing alive and active in my body. And I tell you, you know, if you fight the devil a few times on a thing, he runs away. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? It says, submit yourself to God. So that's to his word, right? He says, then what? The next step, resist the devil. That's the fight. Resist the devil and he shall flee. So literally between 1991 and 2015, I never had to see a doctor. In fact, when I saw my doctor in 1991, he said to me, he was from the Hindu Kush. His name was Dr. Kundu. And he says, I thought you were dead. That's what he told me. Because like I just disappeared off his radar, you know. Everyone else is into him every 3 months for God knows what. And literally, he thought I was dead. And then between 1991 and 2015, nothing at all. Suddenly, 2015, blood pressure, boo. Cholesterol, boo. I don't know. You see, this is what they will tell you, right? Oh, you're entering that age. As if to say, here's the trap of the devil, right? That certain ages have certain things that the devil expects you to be knocked out on. Oh, you're entering that age. And I thought, you know what? Let's do something different then. Let's turn it into an arena of fighting. So now I know I need to fight for my blood pressure. I need to fight for my cholesterol. Some of you, you need to fight for your joints. Some of you need to fight for your diet. I wish I'd known, you see, that I didn't know that there were various arenas beforehand that you needed to fight for in certain ages. So if I had known, for instance, that in my late 40s, I'm 49, by the way. Hey, mommy. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, hair dye and face cream goes a long way. Praise God. I'm actually thinking of using brown shoe polish on these bits because it doesn't matter how much hair dye I use, this one still disappears and goes grey. But anyway, I wish I'd known there was an arena because maybe I would have prepared for it more. Do you see what I mean? But now I know that, you see, every decade has its different arenas. Well, now I know that this is the arena where the devil tries to clog your arteries. So I'm already de-clogging by faith. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Literally, for 6 days, I fought this thing in the realm of the spirit. The last 6 days just gone. I got the news on a Thursday night. The practice nurse rang me. And in my spirit, I didn't feel... I don't know if it's the same with you, but I get unsettled. It's like if you ever put too much towels in your tumbler dryer. You know what I'm talking about? And your tumbler dryer starts going... Well, that's what it's like in my spirit. My spirit's like a tumbler dryer. Like, things go around in my spirit and then I pull them out. That's the only way I know how to describe what my spirit's like. But there was something wrong in my tumbler. It's like somebody put a brick in my tumbler dryer. Or one of Ibby's shoes or something... crazy like this. Let me see your shoe in a minute. Just take it off while I'm preaching, then I'm going to lift it up and show the people. How can you wear a shoe like that to church? Lord have mercy on you. Anyway, so it's like, and I knew I hadn't yet got the thing. Here's how honor works, right? Pastor Michael Bassett was in town last week, and he mentioned he was in town, and one of my heart's desires is to really honor that man for what he did in so many lives. Countless ministries that guy has launched. Countless people who sat under the anointing, just soaked up the grace and then went out and did. And some of the greatest ministries in the world, he's been responsible for birthing and responsible for fathering. And I mean, you just name it. They're everywhere. They're everywhere all over the planet. And so I heard he was coming, so I thought, you know what, let's invite him to minister, let's get him to, because he loves to sing now. So we got him to sing a couple of the songs that he's doing, and then the next day he went to TBN. But the afternoon after he preached, we were sitting together and talking over lunch, and he was just talking to me about what he'd gone through with his heart. And the bypass, you all know the story. He shared it about the bypass that he'd had and about the struggle and everything like that. And then what he'd read up on the internet, and he starts talking about blood pressure and cholesterol and all that kind of thing, and how the latest findings aren't really known throughout the medical profession. Because, you know, if you graduate as a GP, then keeping up on everything as a GP is very difficult. So if you graduated 20 years ago, even if you did another year refresher course 5 years after you graduated, there's still a lot that you're not going to know as a GP. It's impossible to keep up. So anyway, Michael was telling me about his journey and everything like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this is exactly what I need to hear. It's like somebody took the brick out of my tumble dryer. Now, he was there really for us to honor him. But yet, I'm receiving that grace. And it's like, I feel like my tumbler dryer's functioning normally now. But you see, many of you, you don't even know that you've got a tumble dryer. So you've got to become spiritually switched on, spiritually aware. Especially in this day and age with Jihadi Jack and his mates. Lord have mercy, how many of them are there? It's like somebody said, there's millions of them, man. You just got to plead the blood of Jesus over your life and follow the Holy Spirit. Yes. If you hear God saying, you know what, don't go this way, walk to it. Like my wife learned the hard way. Her friend in America, God had told her not to carry her luggage and put it in the hold. Just bring carry-on luggage. She lost the luggage, so they had to go shopping. So my wife went along. They were in a crash. That's how she ended up in that crash in America. That you've seen on Facebook maybe. But you see, you have a spiritual mechanism that can avoid that kind of stuff. You know, the Bible says to him belong deliverances from death. To, you know, there's certain ways that you can, they're not everything you can avoid. There's certain storms you've got to go through. But you see, I think that the majority of storms, we can sidestep them, we can circumvent them, we can dodge and dance around them. If you imagine how many arrows of the wicked one that there are, then you can avoid those arrows. Can you say amen? Amen. So it's really important. This year, this conquest year, we've got to get this thing. Now, Matthew 12, 29, if you haven't found it by now, just forget it. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man. And then he will plunder his house. Sickness is a strong man. Poverty is a strong man. You've got to bind those things. You've got to release those things. The strong man of sickness, when you bind him, you get health. Amen. The strong man of weakness, when you bind weakness, you get strength. The strong man of poverty, when you bind that strong man, you get wealth. Success in business. Favor. Things don't come free anymore, folks. I don't know if you've noticed that. The polarization. One of the things that the Lord said to me about this decade, I shared it at the half night on Friday, was that this entire decade, he said, where you saw in color, you'll see in HD. And he said, the reason is, he said, there's going to be a polarization. The good are going to be good. The bad are going to be bad. The ugly are going to be ugly. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you look like a suspect. You see, the good people are going to get better. We all know what certain radical elements of religion look like. You just turn on the news. You see, but radical Christianity, I know a lot of radical Christians. You know what they do? They open orphanages. They open hospitals, leper colonies. They sell all they have and give it to the poor. I love the story of the guy. Many of you may not know it. The story of the guy who founded Domino's Pizza in America had a fortune of $640 million. He was a Catholic guy. And he read that scripture that said, give away all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. He gave away everything. He gave $640 million away, everything he had, to the Catholic Church for education. Amazing. I don't know what kind of treasure that builds in heaven. I haven't got a clue. I'm not there yet. God's told me what to do when I get debt free. That I'm going to take a tithe of my net worth right then and give it into a particular organization. I know what I'm going to do as a result of that. But I don't know what it is. It's not going to be anywhere near $640 million. But I like the idea of that. There's something about that that touches the heart of God. You see, not a lot else gets free. That's radical Christianity. That's what radical Christianity looks like. Radical love. You know what radical love feels like. How many of you have experienced radical love? See, many of you don't know. All right, let me put it another way. How many of you have experienced the love of God? That's radical love. Right there. For someone to send their only son to die on a cross for your sins, your sorrows, your sicknesses, your pains, your griefs, your unbeliefs, your everything that's bad about you was paid for, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. 2,000 years ago is when it actually happened in physicality, but in the realm of the spirit, the Bible says, it had happened before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah to Jesus. That, my friends, is radical love. May you become a radical. I want radicals in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, I want to share something concerning the way that God addresses himself sometimes in Scripture. And this is to do with conquest. How many of you know that one of God's names is El Shaddai? Right. What does it mean? It means the God who's more than enough. Right? Okay. How many of you know that one of God's names is El Elyon? Right, the Most High God, the God above all gods, God Most High. Right, okay. How many of you know that one of God's names is Yahweh Sabaoth? Yahweh Sabaoth. Anyone tell me what it means? The Lord of hosts, yeah, the Lord of armies. This is the way that the Holy Spirit described it to me. He said that, you know the way that Prince Charles has certain names, right? He is the Prince of Wales. He also is the Duchy of Cornwall. He is also Commander-in-Chief of the Parachute Regiment. Do you know that? Right. Now, this is what God showed me. You see, Prince Charles's headship of the parachute regiment is largely symbolic. He's never gone out to Afghanistan like the paras and shotguns. Do you see what I mean? He's never done tours of like Northern Ireland or Borneo or any of those other places where they train or where they're actually active on the streets, right? His name is largely a ceremonial name. And so you see him sometimes. I don't know if you've ever seen him in his parachute regiment outfit with his hat on and the parachute. Have you seen that with the wings and all that kind of stuff, right? Now, his headship is largely ceremonial. God's name as Lord of hosts is largely ceremonial. God has never got off his throne and gone with the angels to fight.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yes.
When God's enemies rise up, the Bible says, he who sits in the heavens laughs.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's a comedy show. The way you and I would watch Laurel and Hardy or Tottenham Pete is... It's largely just, you know, it's a comical experience, right? Okay, thank God for comedians. They keep us happy.
Yes.
Praise Jesus. Amen. So this is the thing about God, right? His name is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of armies, but really he's never had to fire a gun ever. Okay, so his title is largely ceremonial. But this is what God told me. He said that his name as the Lord of hosts is there to remind us that certain things are a fight. Does that make sense? Certain things are a fight. And this is what he showed me. I just looked up some of the scriptures concerning the Lord of hosts. If you've got your Bible, we'll go through them real quick. In fact, you know what? I just want to share something about the angels of God first. Psalm 103. And we'll start with Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits." There's more to it than that. "Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Verse 4. Okay, I'll read it myself. "Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things." The Bible says he satisfies our mouths with good things, some translations. "Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Verse number 20. "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." Now, those are the angelic hosts. When we call God the Lord of hosts, these are some of the things that the angelic hosts are doing. They are fighting on our behalf. They are obeying the voice of his word. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you know that?
Yes.
You're going quiet on me. Say it out loud.
The angels
are God's warriors.
And the Lord
is the Lord of the angels. Okay, it's important that you understand that where they fit in is that they are warriors and they do warfare on our behalf as long as we give his word voice. The angels cannot fight if there's nothing coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
The Bible says that the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men.
Yes.
So the sons of men are the ones who do the warfare on earth. In the second heavens, the angels of God are backing them.
Amen.
Do you understand? As for me, in my natural capacity, I have no capacity to cast out a devil in my natural capacity. In my spiritual capacity, you see, when I'm there, the Bible says one can put to flight, what? 1,000. Two can put to flight 10,000. So that's how authority works in the realm of the spirit. And the angels of God are there to back you. I know when they're around. There's a certain ministry that they bring into my life and ministry. And it's like, bam, you just know when they're there, anything's possible. absolutely anything. You read in your Bible, Acts chapter 12, when Peter was in prison. Doors opening by themselves. I mean, miracle after miracle concerning the activity of the angels of God. That's just what they're like. They bring that supernatural dimension. Let me give you an example. I was in a car crash too. I don't know if you I told you this. When I was in Ghana. No, I was in a crash too when I was in Ghana. Did I tell you that? 60 mile an hour crash in Volta region. We wrote off a Toyota Land Cruiser, and you know those things are like tanks. I was asleep when it happened. I heard the bang. I had my bag on top of me like that. I heard the bang. I woke up. I looked around. We'd hit a truck. We'd missed a car coming the opposite way. We'd hit a truck, and then the car behind us winged us as well, span us out into the road so that we turned around like 360 degrees. And I woke up. I said, "What's happening?" He said, "Oh, we've crashed." I said, "Oh, dear." And I went back to sleep. It's one of those, you know, when Jesus was in the boat and he says, "Let's go to the other side." You know, there's that apostolic grace. That when the devil throws something at you like that, it's like it doesn't even, it's like the guy who was shot at by the AK-47 and he just wiped off the bullets. You know that story in Ghana? You don't know that story? Oh my gosh. I'm more Ghanaian than some of you. Yeah, it's true. True story. But you see, that's the kind of protection that God can afford you in the realm of the spirit. These angels are powerful. That an angel can stand in front of you and somebody's firing straight at you and either the gun jams or the bullet just drops to the floor right in front of you, and that's that.
Amen.
It's amazing. These beings are amazing.
Yes.
They really are amazing. You read in your scripture, when they manifested, people used to drop to the ground because they think it's God.
Yes.
Why? Because they carry a dimension of God in the realm of the spirit that is like your human soul. You know it. Your spirit reacts. Rip! May God activate your tumble dry. Some of you are looking at me as if saying, is this all in the Bible? Read your Bible. Hallelujah. Now, I've said all that to say this. You see, because God's ceremonial title as the Lord of the armies, as the Lord of hosts, is part of where we're going today. It's part of our conquest. I want spiritual conquest to be in your nature.
Amen.
I want spiritual warfare to be in your DNA.
Amen.
Why? Because I want you to succeed. There's no pedestrians, man. There's no pedestrians anymore. You're in a war whether you like it or not. And I've realized something, you know. If you don't take warfare to the devil, he'll take it to you. And I'd much rather be the aggressor. I'd much rather be entering the strong man's house than some strong man trying to enter my house.
Yes.
Good preaching, Pastor P. Say that again. I would rather be the strong man plundering the devil's house than the devil trying to enter my house and plunder it. I don't know about you. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to bail some of you out when you all go in today. I can tell already. Praise the living God. Right, watch some of these scriptures, right? Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 3. Zechariah 1, 3, it says, "Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, declares the Lord of hosts." Now watch this, right? He says, return to me, says, you see, I wish they'd translated it armies. Some translations do. He says, return to me, says the Lord of armies. Why? Because returning to God is a fight. I don't know if you've ever backslid before, but getting back to where you were before you backslide, it's a fight. Getting back there. Samson, backslidden, held between two pillars. And he says, oh Lord, he says, let me die with my enemies at least. Don't let me die in this backslidden state. Return some strength to me. And the Bible says God grew his hair there and then. And he took down the pillars. Why? Returning to God is a fight. It's a struggle. Oh my gosh. Please turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't backslide. Trust me, guys. Getting back to where you were before, it's a fight. You see? It's a fight. I'm going to tell you everything now that's a fight in Scripture. And I know it's a fight because the Bible prefixes it with the name the Lord of hosts. Or we would say the Lord of fights. Do you understand the connection? The angels are fighting on our behalf. Right. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Haggai 1:7. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. So that this is the Lord of hosts. He says, consider your ways. Right? So right thinking is a fight. That's why so many people suffer mental illness. If you've suffered mental illness, depression, self-pity, whatever else. How many self things are there that you can... Too many. Huh? Selfishness. Self what? Selfish ambition. All of these things. Anything with the word self in front of it. My gosh. No, not selfies. You funny. I'm going to have to cast out the spirit of Instagram from one of our worship leaders. He says, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. And as I was praying about that, I heard God say that thinking right thoughts is a fight. Yes. Yes. Trust me. Right believing. Right believing is a fight. I said this on Friday night, praying for somebody. Job's believing didn't do him any favors because he said the Lord has given and what? The Lord has taken away. And it wasn't the Lord who's taken away. It was the devil. And his believing didn't do him any good as a result. May God rescue us from our ignorance in the name of Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, consider your ways.
Consider your ways.
Hallelujah. Now look at this, Isaiah 54, verse 5. It says, for your maker, your husband, the Lord of hosts. You know, being married. How many of you know being married is a fight?
Yes.
Actually, let me say something. Getting married. Getting married. All the single people said.
Amen.
Yeah, that's about two of you. Getting married is a fight. Staying married is a fight. You remember the joke about Mary? You remember that one? Mary, where there's a guy visits a mental hospital and there's some very severe cases there and some of them are in straitjackets and there's one guy running across the room and he's banging his head against the wall shouting, Mary! Mary! Have you heard this one before? Oh, man, you don't know what you're missing. Okay. So he's running, banging his head, Mary, like this. And he said to the doctor, he said, Doc, what is wrong with this guy? Oh, very sad story. He met a girl called Mary. And they'd courted and done all the right stuff. They went for marriage counseling. And on the wedding day, she jilted him. And he never got over it. His mind collapsed and he never got over it. Crashed his head against the wall shouting, Mary, we had to take him in. So he walks along to the next cell and there's a guy like writhing on the floor and he's banging his head off the floor shouting, Mary! Mary! So anyway, he says, oh, doctor, he says, what is wrong with this guy? He said, well, very similar story. In fact, he was the very same Mary. Did the exact same thing. And so he goes along to the third cell and there's this guy, he's running up against the wall, bang, and he's trying to reach this noose that he's set up to try and hang himself. And he's shouting at the top of his voice, Mary! Mary! He's in a worse way than the other two. And he says to the doctor, oh no, tell me, not the same story. He says, no, this one married Mary. Yeah. Yeah. It's like that sometimes. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, marriage is a fight. It's a fight. Your husband is your maker. You see, now Mary's asking me to change the name of that story. You see, that's what it is. Your Your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, stay married to God. Oh, yes, it's so, so important that you stay married to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. That's Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer. So redemption is a fight. We're talking about fighting here. We're talking about the year of conquest. What the Lord said to me, he said, fight, conquer, and dwell. Fight, conquer, and dwell. If you remember the Lizard of Oz, the Wizard of Oz, lions and tigers and bears. Well, fight and conquer and dwell. Fight and conquer and dwell. Fight and conquer and dwell. Even if it's only a square inch of conquest that you can get by the end of the year, get it in Jesus' name. The Lord said to me, every year has its price. Every year has its fight. Every year has its struggle. But it's worth it. Turn to your neighbor, tell him it's worth the fight. Oh, yes, yes, it's worth the fight. It's worth getting there. It might take, you know, the way you have to run sometimes and you feel like you're getting nowhere. Running incredibly fast to stand incredibly still. But it's only after a few years you look back and you see how far you've come. If life is all about two steps forward and one step back, right, then sometimes it can feel like you're not getting far. Until you turn back and look about how far you've come. I think you need to give yourself a hand clap in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Isaiah 6 verse 3, here's another one. One called out to another. Now these are the angels. He says, one called out to another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And this is what the Lord said. He said, filling the earth with my glory is a fight. The devil fights against the glory of God. Yes. He fights against his glory in your life. Tries to suck it out of you. Oh my gosh. If you've been in Christianity more than 24 hours, you know there's a devil. You know he's there. You know, if it's not like the miserable weather, you turn on the TV and then Jihadi Jack's gone and done another city or whatever. Or, you know, your boss is giving you a pay cut or you got sacked or you got laid off or the bus, you know, you're standing there at the bus stop and not only did it not stop for you, but it covered you in water. And you know the way that the atmosphere in the weather sometimes has this way of trying to envelop you. You see, that's the opposite of glory. That's the opposite of glory. So you've got to get the glory of God onto you. That's one of the things I love. The Bible says, with the high praises of God in my mouth and what in my hands? So what's a two-edged sword doing in your hands if it's not to fight? You getting what I'm saying? So life is a fight. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, life's a fight.
Life's a fight.
Getting the glory is a fight. Yes. You want the glory of God in your house, in your family, in your church. It's a fight.
Yes.
The devil will fight you.
Yes.
Fight back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Take
yes.
off your stuff and fight in the name of Jesus. I have to rush now because I'm short on time. Let me just get some. Oh my goodness. Look at this. Feasting is a fight. Isaiah 25 verse 6. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all the peoples on this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. What's that? Feasting. Feasting is a fight. That's why he calls himself the Lord of hosts. How many of you are getting this? Praise God. May God make you a fighter in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to get this Haggai one. Where is Haggai? Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 7. I like this. In fact, you know what? We might just close by opening up Haggai. Haggai 1:7. Are we there? Let's try find it. There's something about the book of Haggai that carries a revelation, particularly if you've ever had a pay cut or you're not earning as much as you think you're worth, then here is something. Haggai 1:7. Right, I want us to... get some Haggai. Praise God. He says in verse 7, he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 8, go up to the mountain, bring wood, rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Now, if you turn to Haggai chapter 2, here's an interesting one. Verse number 6, and we'll read through until verse number 9. Haggai 2, 6, he says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea, and also the dry land. Verse 7, I shall shake all the nations, and they will come with all the wealth of the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says what?
The Lord of hosts.
The Lord of hosts, a.k.a. the Lord of fights, a.k.a. the strong God, the mighty one, the one that we have to identify with and carry into this generation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Praise God. Verse number 8, he says, the silver is mine. And the gold is mine. Every time that you read the word, the Lord of hosts, in your Bible, I want you to picture God wearing a military uniform.
Amen.
It will help you because that's where your conquest begins.
Yes.
In these things that God says fight for, we've got to fight for them.
Yes.
Put the word of God in your mouth. Put that, the Bible says, oh Zion, put on your strength. For the glory of the Lord is risen within you. And 2016, in fact, any year at all, will be, because you're applying your faith to the thing, you can fight, you can conquer, you can dwell. In fact, every year that God has told us what to call it, every single year has had its applications in the following years. And this one will be no different. He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declare the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Let me close by saying this. Peace doesn't come in the form of a tablet from your doctor. Thank God for doctors. We've got nearly 10 of them here. But it doesn't come from a tablet.
Amen.
Peace doesn't come from a beach. You could have gone to Sharm el Sheikh on a holiday. You could have gone to Tunisia on a holiday. What are you here for? Oh, I'm here to seek a bit of peace. Hey, who met you there? Jihadi Jack and his friends. Huh? It's true. You can't get peace in the natural. Peace isn't the absence of war. Peace is the presence of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Stand to your feet. Let's thank God for his word. I think I've said enough. May you read your Bible in a new way from this day forward. May you understand the purpose of warfare in your life, the purpose of conquest. May you fight and conquer and dwell in this year coming and in the following years, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that nothing will come to you without that fight in Jesus' mighty name. If you're expecting the blessings of God to fall upon you like ripe cherries off a tree, may you receive your wake-up call in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that faith is a fight. Lord, your word says, fight the good fight of faith. Lord, I thank you that these things we've spoken about today, peace is a fight. Prosperity is a fight. Health is a fight. But Lord God, your people are fighters. I thank you for it, Holy Spirit. I thank you for it, Lord, that your people are fighters. We will fight with your word. We will conquer in your word. And we will dwell in the blessings of your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, your word says, those who seek the face of your God, give him no rest until he establishes Zion and makes it a praise in the earth. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.